You know, the Bible says that it's going to be a day just like any other day. That we're going to be going about the normal things of our day just like we would be going about any other normal day without any clue as to what is going to happen on that day. There aren't going to be any signs, there aren't going to be any warnings that this is going to take place. But the Bible says that on this day that God has selected, that there's going to be a great shout. It's going to get everybody's attention. It's going to get everybody's attention so much, it's going to get the dead people's attention. The Bible says that they're going to rise from the graves. There's going to be the voice of an archangel. There's going to be the trumpet of God. I want you to think about what you might be doing on a day when you hear a shout, not from the television set and not from your husband or from your wife, but from heaven itself, a shout comes. The trumpet of God sounds. Does that get your attention? When you see dead people rising from the graves, would that get your attention? Do you know that something's going on when that day comes? When you start to be lifted up from this earth, will you know that something's going on? Are you ready for that day? What if that day was today? What if before the end of this sermon, you got woken up mid-sermon by a shout from heaven? Would you be ready if that was today? The Bible says that we are going to leave this earth, that this earth is going to pass away with a great noise, and we will all be taken to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the day when Jesus comes back? Are you ready for the day when each and every one of us stands before Jesus on the day of judgment? Brother and sister in Christ, friend who's here today, that day is coming. I don't know when, you don't know when, the guy on television doesn't know when. The Bible says nobody knows when, but we know it's coming. Are you ready if it's today? Are you ready if it's tomorrow? I want to invite you this morning to get your Bibles out and turn to the passage that was read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to spend most of our time looking this morning at verse 10. So get your Bibles out, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and just zero in on that verse. And I want us to see, what does the Bible tell us about the day of judgment? This one little verse is as compact and comprehensive with information about the day of judgment as any verse in the Bible. This day is coming. What is the day of judgment going to be like? What's going to happen on that day? As you envision being there on the day of judgment, what does it look like to you? I want us to look at this passage, and I want us to see several things that the Bible tells us about the day of judgment. First of all, we're going to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that the day of judgment is inevitable. What does that mean? Well, look at the very beginning of the verse. It says, we must. What does that mean to you? This isn't optional. When the Bible says that we must do something, that indicates that this isn't something that's going to, well, maybe happen or not happen. It's absolutely going to happen. In fact, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says there that it is an appointment that we're all going to keep. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The day of judgment is an appointment that you won't miss. Have you ever missed an appointment? Have you ever had a doctor's appointment that you forgot about and they called you up and said, we're going to charge you $1 million because you forgot to be here for this doctor's appointment? You ever forgot an appointment? Or maybe you rescheduled one. Maybe you made an appointment and the time just came up. You said, well, this isn't a good time for me. I'm just going to call up and I'm going to begin to bump it back a little bit. This isn't an appointment that you're going to call up and bump it back a little bit. This is an appointment that is coming that we must all be ready for. This is a day that is inevitable. But it's not only inevitable, The Bible says that this day of judgment is universal. Look back at the verse. It says, we must all. That's everybody. And this isn't talking about all of those people who are in Tennessee, or it's not talking about all of those people who are Miami Dolphins fans. It's talking about all of us. It's not talking about one group or another. Every single one of us needs to be ready for that day. Because the Bible says this is a time of universal involvement where every single one of us stands before Him. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. The Bible says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. There's the day of judgment. And all nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. All nations will be there. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, John says, I saw the dead, small and great. It doesn't matter what you were on this earth. On the day of judgment, you're going to be like everybody else. John says, I saw the dead, small and great, but not just the dead. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 that Jesus is the judge of both the living and the dead. This is all of us. Every person who has ever lived or ever will live, if the earth continues, is going to appear before Jesus on the day of judgment. Are you ready for that day? It's inevitable. Are you ready for it? It's universal. Are you ready for it? The day of judgment, the Bible says, is personal. It's personal. We must all appear before. This isn't something that you're going to be able to just call it in. This isn't something, well, I can't make it. Maybe I'll just get on Skype. Or maybe I'll just get on net meeting. I can't be at this meeting, but you know, it'll be just the same as if I'm there. I'll just get on a video conference line and be able to tap it. That's not the way it's going to work. The Bible says we will all appear. The word there, appear, means that we will be made manifest there. It's not that you can send your representative. Well, I can't make it. I'll just send my representative to go over there, and they'll find out what's going on, and they'll come back and report to me. No. This is very personal. This is a time where every single one of us will appear before Him, where we will be made manifest before the Lord. Without one exception, that's going to happen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for the day, not when your parents stand before Him for you, not when your children stand before, not when your spouse stands before Him for you, when you stand before Jesus for you, for yourself? Are you ready for that day to come? It's inevitable. It's universal. It's personal. Bible says that when we talk about the day of judgment, that it is a time, and I don't know if my remote's working or not, it is a time that is irrevocable. Well, how do we get that? We are all going to appear before the judgment seat. The Greek word that's used here is the word bema, and there are some groups that have just made a whole doctrine about the bema seat and have tried to separate it from other judgment scenes that are described in the Bible. But the Bema seat, the Bema judgment seat in those days was a high platform that a judge would climb the stairs, like a tribunal, where he would climb the stairs and he would sit above everyone else and he would pronounce his judgment. And when the judge pronounced his judgment, it was irrevocable. It wasn't that it could be changed. It wasn't, well, I don't really like that. I'll go and get a second opinion. Have you ever got a second opinion on something? You didn't like the first opinion. I'll just go get a second opinion. That's not the way that the judgment seat works. The judgment seat is a time when a sentencing is going to be given, and that sentencing is irrevocable. This is not a different scene, although some have, for some reason, have tried to make it a different scene. This is not a different scene than what John describes in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, where John says, I saw the great white throne and Him who sat on it. That's the scene John saw. That's the scene that Paul is describing here. That's the scene that we need to be ready for. Are you ready to hear a sentence that is irrevocable? That's not all this passage says. The Bible goes on to say that it's not only irrevocable, it's irrevocable because of the one that we are standing before on the day of judgment. We will be standing before Christ. Aren't you glad you're going to be standing before Jesus? Aren't you glad you're not standing before that bully back in school, that he's not your judge? Aren't you glad you're not going to be standing before the United States Supreme Court and they're not your judge? Aren't you glad you're not going to be standing before some judiciary committee up in Washington, D.C., and that's who's going to be your judge? Forget that. We're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And His judgment is impartial. What does that mean? That means that each and every one of us is going to be judged by the same standard. It doesn't matter where you live, you're going to be judged by the same standard. It doesn't matter how much education you have, you're going to be judged by the same standard. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you're going to be judged by the same standard. It doesn't matter what place you've had, what role you've had, what leadership position you've had in the church, we're all going to be judged by the same standard. Jesus said, "He who rejects me and receives not my word," John 12, verse 48, "receives not my word, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." God has given us everything we need to know for the final test. God has told us everything that we need to do in order to be ready for that day. When we stand before Jesus as the great judge of all, who will judge us with a righteous judgment, Acts 17 and verse 31, wouldn't you expect that? Don't you know that our judgment is going to be righteous and true and fair and just? Because who's our judge? Somebody who is righteous and true and fair and just is going to be the one who judges us. Bible says that when we do what Jesus says, John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, that when we on this earth do what Jesus says, we are His friend. What better person to have judging you on the day of judgment than your friend? Who Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 says, does not exercise partiality. Jesus isn't going to look at you and then look at somebody behind you in line and say, "Well, I was going to let you into heaven, but boy, that person behind you in line, they're so much better than you. If I let you into heaven, and then it's just going to look silly if I let, because you're just not as good as that person behind you." He doesn't judge with partiality. He judges based upon a clear standard that He's given to us. Are you ready to stand before Jesus and to hear His impartial judgment of you? What else does this passage say? This passage says that the day of judgment is going to be individual. We're all going to be there. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? When every person who's ever lived is there on the day of judgment, all nations are going to be gathered before Him. How's that going to work out? I mean, this is going to have to be a big place. I mean, it's going to have to be bigger than Texas Stadium, right? I mean, you're going to have to expand the borders a little bit. How's it going to fit everybody there? But yet, while everybody is there, the judgment is individual. Because this verse says that each one individually will be judged. I want you to think about that. Have you ever had a group project that you had to work on in school? You ever had a group project at work? Do you love group projects? I don't know what you thought about group projects. Some people love them because, well, the rest of the group can do the work and I'll just kind of slide along with it. All right? Other people hate it because they got people like that in the group that expect them to do all the work and they're just going to slide along with it. You know, Day of Judgment isn't going to work like a group project. It's not going to be, well, you know, I was a part of Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. Boy, there are a lot of good people down in Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. So now that I'm here on the Day of Judgment, yep, I was a member of the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. So, yep, you're going to have to let me in because I was, or whatever other congregation you want to fill in the blank. That's not the way the Judgment Day works. It's not a group project. It's not a group project. It says, well, you know, I was a part of this family. My daddy was a Christian. My mama was a Christian. My uncle was a Christian. Everybody in my family was a Christian. They were elders and preachers, and we were just the most religious people on the face of this earth. I'm going to heaven. That's not the way that it works. We're each judged individually. Where God looks at each one and reflects upon each one as they stand before Him, regardless of other groups that this person may have been a part of. So now you're there. And it doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter who you're related to. And it doesn't matter who your preacher was. It doesn't matter who your elders were. You're there. And it's you and Jesus. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for Him to look at you as an individual on the Day of Judgment? The Bible says that the Day of Judgment is going to be reasonable. Well, what do we mean by that? How do we get reasonable out of this passage? Well, look at what it says. That each one may receive the things done in the body. When I stand before Jesus on the Day of Judgment and He's going to judge me, what is He going to judge me based upon? Is He going to judge me based upon what somebody else did? Well, that wouldn't seem reasonable, would it? Is He going to judge me based upon what the most spiritual person in the church did? Is that what He's going to judge me? Well, that wouldn't seem reasonable, would it? No. He's going to judge me based upon what I have done in my body. And so you may not have the word receive in your Bible. You may have the word recompense. Where we are going to stand before Jesus, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 says that each of us, listen to that, each of us again, it's individual, that each of us shall give account of himself. There's one exception, at least one exception to this each one giving an account of himself. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 talks about elders. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse 17 that they will give an account for us. How does that strike you about your relationship with your elders and how you treat your elders and how you respond to your elders when they look to you to do something? They're going to have to give an account for us. But as Christians, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, each of us shall give account of himself to God. And the judgment that will be returned to me will be reasonable because it will be based upon me. It's not going to be based upon anybody else. It will be based upon me. And closely tied to that idea of it being reasonable is what the last part of the verse says, and that is that this judgment that is reasonable is a judgment that is relational. What does that mean? It's related to whether I've done good or whether I've done bad. The sentence that I will hear on that day is not based upon what somebody else has done in their body. The sentence that I hear on that day will be based upon what I hear because of what I have done in my body. Are you ready for that day? When the Bible says that each one of us will be judged according to our works. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says that. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged there according to their works by the things that were written in the books. Are you ready to be judged according to your works, according to your deeds, to the things that you've done? Matthew 12 and verse 36, the Bible says that for every idle word that men may speak, He will give account of it on the Day of Judgment. Are you ready for that day? When as an individual, you stand before Jesus and hear a reasonable judgment, sentencing given back that is related to, relational to, whatever you've done in the body? Are you ready for that day? There's not a single one of us in here. There's not a single one of us in here that has lived a life where we haven't made any mistakes. There's not a single one of us in here that's lived a life that's perfect, where we've never done anything wrong. Romans 3 and verse 23 talks about those of us who are accountable in our relationship with God, and it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, how in the world can I stand before Jesus on the day of judgment if I'm a sinner? How can I stand before Jesus on the day of judgment if I've done all of this wrong? If I'm going to have to give an account for every word that I've said and every deed that I've done on the day of judgment, I feel sorry for the person that's standing in line behind me. Does that mean I'm not going to have to give an account for the works and the deeds and the words that I've spoken? No, the Bible says I'm going to have to give an account. But what if I have been forgiven of those wrongs that I've done? What if those words I should not have said have been forgiven me by the God of heaven? What if those works that I should not have committed, what if they have been forgiven me? What if those things that I should have done that I didn't do, James 4 and verse 17 says even that's a sin, what if those have been forgiven me? Then on the day of judgment, I will not have to give an account of those things that have been forgiven me. Does that make forgiveness from God appealing to us? That when we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, it's inevitable, it's universal, it's going to happen, it's personal. And when we stand there and as an individual, I hear a sentence given based upon what I have done, do I want Him to sentence me based upon the wrongs that I've done? I don't want that. Do I want Him to sentence me based upon the sins I've committed? Oh, please, I don't want that. But by the blood of Jesus, I can have all of those taken away so that I am not held accountable for a single one. Are you ready to stand before Him today? If that shout were to come right now, if that trumpet were to sound right now, if Jesus were to descend from heaven right now and to take us up and this world is destroyed and we stand before Him right now, are you ready to give an account for yourself before the Son of God? Or do you need to be forgiven? Or do you need those sins that you've committed taken out of the way right now so that they're not held against you? When we broaden this text just a little bit, that's verse 10. If we broaden it to the verse before it and the verse after it, we learn that judgment is a day that is preparable. What does that mean? It is something that we can get ready for. And it's something we can help other people to get ready for. And back up in verse 9, what does it say? We make it our aim, the end of the verse. We make it our aim to do what? To be well-pleasing to Him. Is that your aim? If that's your aim, then you are preparing to be there. Standing before Him is something that you can start today preparing for. Living a life that you're striving to be well-pleasing to Him. The verse after it says, is something we can help others prepare for. He says, therefore, knowing, and the New King James says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. New American Standard says, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord. What do? We persuade men. When you think about verse 10 about the day of judgment, and you look at it and say, I've got to get myself ready. Paul says in verse 11, I'm not only concerned about getting myself ready, I want to help other people get ready. Do you want to help other people get ready for the day of judgment? Paul says we persuade men. We want to help others get their life right with the Lord. Are you prepared today? Are you prepared today to stand before Him? If it were to be today. The final thing I want us to see about the day of judgment is the Bible says it will be eternal. That whatever is sentenced on that day, whatever we receive for the things we've done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil, that sentencing, when it is pronounced, is eternal. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, where it describes, we talked about those verses where it says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all of His holy angels with Him, He'll sit on the throne of His glory, and all nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. If you keep reading in that text, the Bible says that on the day of judgment, there's only two possibilities of what you're going to hear. On the day of judgment, we are either going to hear what He says in verse 34. We will either be those among His sheep on His right hand where He says, come. Wouldn't you like to hear Jesus say that? Come. What if He just said one word? Would that be enough? Come. Ye blessed of My Father. Oh, you had me at come, Jesus. That was good. Come, ye blessed of My Father. Inherit the kingdom, the eternal kingdom, prepared for you from all of eternity before the foundation of the world. Come and inherit the eternal realm of heaven that Jesus went and prepared for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Here it is, right here and now, where Jesus says, come on in. Are you ready to hear those words? Are those words that you can just hear in your mind being said? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that those are the words that you will hear that day? 1 John 5 verse 13 says that we can know that we have eternal life. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. Do you know for certain those are the words you're going to hear that day? Because if those are not the words that you hear, the only other thing, the only other possibility is what He says in verse 41, to those on the left hand, to those who are among the goats. He doesn't say come. He says depart. He doesn't say come, you blessed. He says depart from Me, you cursed. He doesn't say come, you blessed, inherit the kingdom. Come on in into the kingdom prepared. No, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. He doesn't say come into this place that I prepared for you, that I go to prepare a place for you. He doesn't say come into this place I prepared for you. He says go, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's only two possibilities. What's going to be said on that day? Which one of these are you going to hear? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that every person is either on one of two roads. He's either on that wide path that's leading to destruction, or He's on that narrow path that's leading unto eternal life. Which one are you on today? The day of judgment. The day of judgment is going to be inevitable. The day of judgment, universal, is personal, is irrevocable, is impartial, is individual, is reasonable, is relational, is preparable, and it's eternal. Are you ready for it? If He came back today, are you ready to stand before Him? The only way that you can answer yes to that question is if every one of your sins has been forgiven by Jesus. That's the only way you can be ready to stand before Him on that day. The only way you can be ready to stand there is if you don't have any sins separating you from God. If you've still got sins that are separating you from God, you are not ready to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment. You want to be ready? The only way that you can be ready is to do what Scripture says to do. And that is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, Jesus said, when you believe, you've got the right to become a child of God. But He says in John 8 and verse 24, if you don't believe that I'm here, you're going to die in your sins. In order to be ready to stand before Him on the day of judgment, we've got to believe that He's the Son of God. But that's not all. The Bible says we need to repent of our sins. We need to make up our mind. We're going to stop doing what's wrong. We need to start doing what's right. Turn our lives over to God. And Jesus says, if you don't do this, you're going to perish in Luke 13 and verse 3. And that's not all. The Bible says we need to confess the faith that is in our heart and to be baptized. To be baptized into Christ. To be baptized the very reason that Saul of Tarsus was baptized. When Ananias came to Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul had been fasting and praying his heart out for 3 days. In my imagination, I imagine that Paul had been begging God for forgiveness for 3 days. That's what I would have been doing. He didn't believe in Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. All of a sudden he realizes that Jesus is the resurrected Lord, that Christianity is true, that the message of Christ is real, and he realizes he's been persecuting Christ and his followers, and all of a sudden he's struck with the fact that he's wrong. He's struck with the fact that he's got sin separated from God, but he wasn't saved on that road. He still had his sins. And he still had him 3 days later. In my imagination, he's there in the city of Damascus praying his guts out for 3 days, saying, God, please forgive me. But when the preacher Ananias got there with the gospel 3 days later, Saul was not one sin shorter than he was, less than he was when Jesus met him. He still had every single one of his sins. Prayer didn't take him away. What was going to take him away? Ananias said to him, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been baptized so that every wrong you ever have done in the eyes of God, so that that could be taken away? So that you didn't have any more sins. Have you ever been baptized for that reason? So that the blood of Jesus could take away every sin you've ever committed and God adds you to His church. He writes your name in heaven. If you've never been baptized for that reason, I ask you the same question Ananias asked to Saul. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Rise this day. Be baptized. It's here. There's warm water here. There's garments here. There's towels here. Everything is ready. You can give your life to the Lord this day and rise to walk in newness of life, to live a life of faithful service to Him in which we make it our daily aim to please Him. And when you're a Christian and you're making it your daily aim to please the Lord, when you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord each day, it doesn't mean you're not going to make any mistakes. But here's the beauty of it. That when you're striving to please the Lord every day, the same blood of Jesus that washes away your sins when you're baptized is the same blood of Jesus that keeps on cleansing you from your sin when you're a faithful Christian. So that when Jesus comes, no matter what day that is, you are ready. You don't have any sins against your account. Are you ready today? Amos told those Jews in Amos 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet your God. He's coming back. We're going to stand and sing a song, and I encourage you to prepare to meet God. And if you're not ready, come right now as together we stand and sing.